God is an awesome God. I am thankful that He knows each one of us, and He can heal everything, and there's nothing that God can't do. I remember teaching the intermediate class one time, and this might sound like a challenge, but if God would say that He's going to fill this room up with water and we will live, do we believe it? If God says it, I believe it. If God doesn't say it, then I'd get out of here. But I think the challenging factor that we face as human beings is we don't see the greatness of God, and our unbelief will hinder the power of God. We need to believe this is what God wants. So my wife right now is with her mother. It seems like she might not be with us very long. So there's somebody in the family that's trying to be with her round the clock, I think. And there was a window here that was needed, so my wife is there. I think she'll be here for lunch. But you can pray for the Weaver family as we go through that, because Mom has been kind of like a solid rock for the family. I know, you know, she has 16 children. She has 99 grandchildren, 90 living. And I lost the count of how many great-grandchildren. It's 220 or 230, or I mean, it's something like that. But last weekend, we were out in Wisconsin, and we buried my sister-in-law, Martha Rose, and I made this statement. This is the first couple that are both passed on. And when I said that, I thought of my mother-in-law, because my father-in-law has passed quite a few years ago. I think it was 10 or 12. And now we're experiencing this. So it's a fact of life. Time will move on. And I keep thinking that the Lord's going to come, and I'm hoping that my school teacher is right. My school teacher said to us when I was in sixth grade, she said, "You children here will probably see the second coming." And the reason she said that is because Israel became a nation, and that was her premise. And she said, in so many years, the Lord's supposed to come. And I don't argue with the teacher. But what she said has burned in my hard drive to the point where it is a possibility. And the most important thing that I can do, and I think you can do, and that is, let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is everything, because if you're not, you're going to come up short. You're going to miss it. So the message this morning was inspired by something I will read later. And I'm going to say this up front. I am not a doctor, neither am I God. But I have some questions for you. How long can a person live without food? How long can a person live without food? What? 3 weeks. Anyone else have any thoughts? 40 days. I love that answer. It depends. I know people personally who fasted 40 days. I know that. But that doesn't mean they weren't drinking juices. You know what I'm saying? But what Lester says is correct. According to, I'll come back to that one. You know, 3 weeks. No, actually, no, I'm sorry. I have written down here 3 months. I have written down here 3 months. A person could live. Now, I'd like to say this. This, what Yuri said is actually what I like to say is it's a mixed bag of information because you have a lot of variables. It depends on the person, their composition, their makeup, obesity, if they're male, female. They're all variables. I told this to another person yesterday. He's bigger than I am, by the way. And I told him, I said, I think we could last a little while longer than the average because I got some extra weight. And Art's not here, but he likes to rib me on this. And I think I said it before, but he said that I am the most active obese person that he knows of. So, you know, considering the source, you have to understand that. But I do believe in being active. Anyway, so one of the key factors is you could live beyond 3 weeks if you have water. Okay? You can live without food, but if you have some water, because these people who fasted 40 days, they had water. All right, now, how long can you live without water? Say 2 days. 3 days. Good point. Yeah, depending on the person can vary. I agree with that. That goes back to that other variable. But three is a good point. Now, my last and final question is, how long can you live without breathing? One minute? Okay. Let me say this, and this will help you. It struck me when I read this, checking it out. Without food, it's like 3 months. Without water, it's 3 days. And without breathing, it's 3 minutes, max. Now, in my research, I found that there was a man who could be under the water. He was called a free diver. And he could hold his breath for 22 minutes. But before he went down, before he went under, he prepped himself somehow by filling himself up with oxygen. And I mean, he was just saturated with oxygen somehow. I didn't ask the details or check into that. But that's the world record to my knowledge. But that's not you and me. But the thing I liked about it's 3, 3, and 3. And when I think of 3, I always think of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's a very simple math thing. But anyway, I realized that breathing has always been synonymous with life. And this morning, I'd like every one of you to be living and to have life. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about breathing today. And the interesting thing about as I said, I'm not a doctor, but I do know they say that life is in the blood, and blood is the most important body fluid that our body has. Why? Why is the blood so important? Exactly. It carries oxygen to every part of our body. We have gone through this COVID thing, and I have been in the hospital watching the oxygen levels of people's blood going down. And by the way, there's drugs that do that to you. But you need to have this oxygen in your blood so your body can function. So oxygen is very important. So we say that blood transports the oxygen throughout the body so we can be healthy. I have a song that it's in none of the books we have. Franz, you, and Ivan, I'm up here. I'm going to pass out these songs. Why don't you start over there, and Ivan, you go here and work. Oops, I'm sorry. Okay. Franz, you go over there. It's fine. This song stood out to me, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." And I think we should all know it. But I'd like to, it's actually like a prayer song. And I'd like to try and help you understand when we sing this song, I want you to think of the words that you're singing. Because too many times we sing a song and after you're done, you kind of forget what even you said. And that is not good, because I think singing is definitely a part of the Christian life. So other factor that I see with breathing is we like to see what the Bible says about it, what the Bible talks about breath. And then I'd like to, of course, go into an acronym with breath. Did you have enough? Do you need more? Oh. We have some. Everybody have a song? Okay. Need any more, anyone? Raise your hand. Serge, can you blow the pitch? Thank you. There's a lot of truths in that song, and we'd like to try and touch some of them here. But let's first, we're going to look at what does the Bible say about breath. And I think I'm going to give these verses out. Genesis 2:7. Job 33:4. Psalms 156. It's 150 and verse 6, right? And then Genesis 6:17. Genesis 7:15. And 7:22. All right. I kind of messed up there because I'm the last three I gave, I'm going to be asking you very soon. So let's let's read read Genesis 2:7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
So that tells us this breath is of God. And it's life. Okay. Genesis 6:17.
Every living thing that breathes, everything on earth will die.
Genesis 7:15.
They went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life.
And then verse 22. Okay, because they were underwater. They died because they drowned. Job 33:4. Amen. Psalms 150:6. Amen. Ezekiel 37:4-9. I did not have anybody turn get that, but I want to read that next. Ezekiel. This is the Valley of Dry Bones, which you should all know about. But Ezekiel 37. We're going to begin reading at verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I have commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. You want to talk about the power of God? We've over the last 2 years, we have a lot of things going on. People are frustrated, and you know, why is this? And it seems like we're in a very dark world. It seems like the devil seems to be conquering everything. But reading this, God can do anything. So why are we fretting? Why are we worrying? Why are we all excited? Because we want to make sure if we're on God's side, it's fine. We're going to come through it. I would like to read to you this is what was the inspiration of this message. You remember my favorite saying, God is everything. Well, remember that when you listen to this. It's very interesting. This person shared this from the post they saw. It's copied from a friend. There was a moment when Moses had the nerve to ask God what his name is. God was gracious enough to answer, and the name he gave is recorded in the original Hebrew as that's God's name in Hebrew. And actually, I called a friend of mine who is, he's a Messianic Jew, and he said, he told me that when they pray, they don't, the only time they say this is over a certain time of the year or whatever, because God's name is so sacred. It's so special. So Hebrew, YHWH, says, over time, we've arbitrarily added an A and an E in there to get Yahweh, presumably because we have a preference for vowels. But scholars and rabbis have noted that the letters YHWH represent a breathing sound or aspirated consonants. When pronounced without intervening vowels, it actually sounds like it's Yahweh. It's the breath. So, a baby's first cry, his first breath, speaks the name of God. A deep sigh calls his name. Or a groan or a gasp that is too heavy for mere words. Even an atheist would speak his name, unaware that their very breath is giving constant acknowledgement of God. Likewise, a person leaves this earth with their last breath when God's name is no longer filling their lungs. So when I can't utter anything else, is my cry calling out his name? Being alive means I speak his name constantly. It is heard the loudest. Is it heard the loudest when I'm quietest? In sadness, we breathe heavy sighs. In joy, our lungs feel almost like they will burst. In fear, we hold our breath and have to be told to breathe slowly to help us calm down. When we're about to do something hard, we take a deep breath and find our courage. When I think about it, breathing is giving him praise, even in the hardest moments. This is so beautiful and fills me with emotions every time I grasp the thought. God chose to give himself a name that we can't help but speak every moment we're alive. All of us, always, everywhere, waking, sleeping, breathing with the name of God on our lips. That struck me. It's Yahweh, Yahweh. And it's like, wow. I'm made to realize that even the atheist is saying God's name even though he doesn't want to. I would like to put breathe up here. And I would like some more verses. 1 John 4, 16 to 18. Anyone? Okay. And Matthew 11, 28 to 30. James 1:12. Romans 12, 1, 2, 1 and 2. Mark 13, 24 to 27.
Mark 13.
Yeah, 24 to 27. Luke 4, 18 to 20. And 2 Corinthians 10, 15 to 18. Okay. Read 1 John 4, 16 to 18.
We have come to know and have believed that the love which God has for us, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love.
All right. That's not King James, but that's fine. No. But it's in King James, it says boldness. Say boldness there? I think it expressed the same thought. But when we look at these words, I like to ask this question. And that is, when we breathe Christ in us, when Jesus is a part of our life, when we are breathing in and out with Jesus Christ, it's a relationship. This is, you find boldness. Because when we know that God is with us, it gives you confidence. It really does. The sad thing is, you know, I met people already that they think they have to say the last word. Let me ask you this question. Does Jesus do that? Did Jesus always have the last word? No. I'll tell you that right now. He did not. He just spoke the truth and let it go. And I think we need to learn from Jesus' example how to live, how to speak, how to walk. And I'm thinking the word boldness we kind of have downplayed because, you know, we want to be, you know, humble and quiet and speak and all that. But when we have God, when we know that we are right with God, it will give us boldness. Not saying that we have to be dominant and arrogant and all that. That doesn't connect here. But we can have confidence. We can have boldness. This is what God wants. This is what God says. Let's stand. Let's just say it and let it go. All right, Matthew 11, 28 to 30.
O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Amen. So when we breathe in Christ, when we have Christ in us, it will give us rest. We find peace. And when I read that portion, I had goosebumps, and I'll tell you why. You know, I've got into situations where people, you come upon a scene or a situation where a person's, they're hyper, and just, you know, really, I said, stop. I said, just take 10 deep breaths. Just stop, just in, out. And I never dreamt I was telling them to connect with God. I never thought about it, but that's what we're doing, in and out. And it's amazing how a person can relax by your breathing. It's very, very interesting. All right, James 1:12.
Temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
That word there is endurance. Endure. And you think about it, if you, how many ever ran a race? Most of you should have. I mean, we are in the race of life too, but you have to prepare for a race if you want to win. You have to get yourself in shape. You got to make sure that, you know, in the school I had, we had the 50 yard and all these different runs. And by the way, I was not a fast runner back then. There was always a young fellow that he was in shape in many ways. But, you know, before the race, he would be getting his breathing. He would be, you know, just doing his thing and getting himself ready so he could endure that and make that race run. And it takes breathing. So when you breathe in Christ, we find endurance. All right, Romans 12:1-2.
Sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, when we breathe in Christ, we find acceptance with him. We find we belong. We're there. The interesting thing is when we are truly having Christ in us, acceptance also means the idea that we are becoming unified with God's body. And I think about acceptance as, and maybe, you know what, maybe my next word will probably cover that a little better. That's Mark 13:24-27.
But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven.
When I read that, I was thinking it blows apart a bunch of different people's prophetic mentalities. But anyway, together. In other words, God is going to bring us together with him as we are a part of him. And this is where I was driving to. I got a step ahead of myself from the standpoint that when we are breathing in Christ, when we have that relationship, we are going to be united with the body of Christ. We're not going to be out on an island somewhere. We're not going to be by ourselves. We need to join hands with other people who love and fear God so that we are together. It's called a togetherness. All right. Luke 4:18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, a recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Luke 1:19 as well.
Yeah.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
The thing that struck me is in this verse, what was Luke? He was a doctor. And it struck me that he brought out this healing aspect, because when we are breathing in Christ, when we have this relationship, we find healing. We find healing from misunderstandings. We find healing from many aspects. I was made to think, just recently there was a scenario where I was told that things were said about us or something, or of shalom or whatever. And, you know, I realize that when we are walking with God, not saying we're perfect, if we make a mistake, we want to make it right, to understand that. But when we are being accused falsely, it doesn't hurt as much because we know that, you know, God understands. And I thought of Matthew where it says, when people accuse you falsely, rejoice, because, hey, you're free, you're clear. So anyway, all right, 2 Corinthians 10, 15 to 18.
Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends.
The word increase is the same as expansion. And that's what, when we breathe in Christ, we find expansion. We find, you know, higher ground. We find a closer walk with God. When we have a close walk with God, our faith should increase, our love should increase. I'm made to think we are to be a reflection of God and His kingdom. And I went over the idea of, you know, when you have God, we have, I like the, we know that God is great. He's gracious and He's giving. And we know that God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We know that God is divine. He divides right from wrong. And He is also a deliverer. And all those, in that big package, we get that as we are breathing God in us. We receive that. And so, and those aspects can expand as we do Yahweh. It's, we must have this breath. All right. I would like you to, I have some questions that I'd like you to think about. Is God truly everything to me? Is God truly everything to me or to you? And am I experiencing the breath of God in my life? Am I experiencing these aspects as I am walking with God? And the question is, do I truly believe God? Do I really believe God? The devil has been around a lot longer than you and I have been. And the first tactic the devil does, just go back to the garden, and he plants a seed of doubt, saying, hath God said, does he really mean that? Hath God said? So, doubt is one of the first steps away from God. So I go back to this question. And also then in Hebrews it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So do I have that faith? In other words, do I really, really believe God? And we want to do that. Now, God is so good. And I'm hoping that this little meditation, if you want to call it that, helps you think that every time you breathe, it's God. God is there. God is wants to be in you. He wants this breath because He is Yahweh. And I would like if we would sing that song again. Breathe on me, breath of God. And I'm hoping it puts a little different perspective as we sing it.
Thank you.
you notice there in the third verse, it says here, second verse, I will, one will. In other words, we are together. We want to be together in Christ. And then that last portion says, the purpose is so we can endure. And if you're having a battle that perhaps you're struggling with, perhaps things aren't what the outcome doesn't look good or it doesn't feel right, you need to breathe more of Christ in you. And I would recommend getting together with someone who is breathing Christ. In other words, God loves each one of us. God doesn't want any of us to die. And if we don't have Christ or God in us, we're not going to make it. Because there's a lot of people who are in Christian life and they're holding their breath. And 3 seconds isn't very long. I was made to think of my wife's cousin's son who died. He was found in the bottom of a pool because he was holding his breath and he went unconscious. And unconscious, when you go unconscious, your body automatically goes back to breathing. And he died. It was a sad death. And we want to learn from the mistakes of others. The thing he shouldn't have done is he should not have done it alone. He was doing it alone. He should have had somebody there that was beside him. So learn from the mistakes of others. But he was young. I think he was still a teenager. But anyway, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for life. We thank you, Father, for the breath you have given to us through Christ. We ask you, Father, that you might help each one of us to see the seriousness of not breathing. And we pray, Lord, that each one of us will put you first in our lives and that our lives would reflect and radiate your kingdom in such a way that more souls can be brought into the kingdom before time and eternity meet. We pray, Father, for those that are not with us today, especially for those that are sick. We ask you might heal them as well. We ask you might never forget that you are everything to us. We thank you again for the many blessings, and we ask you might bless our time this day, and we ask you might help us to reflect you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Oh, I could tell you this yet. The songs put in the hymnary. I told Art about it. He said, keep them in the books because we might use them again.